Hey, podcasters, Glazy, Matt and Kimber from The Big Breakfast here.
On today's catch-up, Dennis Cometti breaks down a big Frio win and that really big West Coast loss.
It was. Mm. A Dancing with the Stars winner and, well, all-round legend, Samuel Johnson, he called us for a chat.
And we asked which Aussie celebrity should have a crack at being our new PM.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6am on Mix 94.5.
Love your location, but not your home? Keep your block and build your dream home with Ventura Homes.
And it's your Big Breakfast, Clancy, Matt and Kimber, along with our friends from Ventura Homes.
Yes, absolutely. Did you know that Ventura Homes are Perth's most awarded home builder? So why would you build with anyone else?
Actually, I went to their website and I checked out their Yalling Up Retreat farmhouse.
Oh, here we go.
It is gorgeous.
You going to bulldoze yours?
It is. I do. I need to rebuild. It looks so good.
Is it an example of what can be done?
Yeah, it's one of their designs. Yeah, it's beautiful.
They've got those absolute beauties from under $180,000. You can build your dream home with Ventura Homes.
Yeah, go to venturahomes.com.au.
Yeah, BRN 10805.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast.
Snaps over the shoulder.
The only brekkie show with this legend.
Oh, yes. Hang it on the wall. The work of art.
Let's talk footy with Dennis Cometti for Battery World.
The man himself, Dennis Cometti. Good morning, mate.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Yes, good morning to everybody.
What's happened with this football business? Well, seems like it's all over the show.
Isn't it? There's so much of it going on. Where do we start? I mean, last Friday night. Shall we start there?
I think we should.
Optus Stadium, because West Coast generally do so well, but beaten by Port Adelaide. So that was something of a surprise, but not to you. You tipped Port Adelaide. I saw that. I've been following your fortunes. You've been red hot.
Only
you're
for
going
one
very
week,
well. One of the worst efforts, I suppose, under Adam Simpson. You'd have to say that, wouldn't you? Because his record is so good. They were completely outclassed. But the good thing is it feels like last Christmas today, doesn't it? So much footy just buzzing around us.
Long time ago.
So it was left to the Fremantle Dockers to make WA supporters happy. They were terrific last Saturday. Fife, Tabata, Mundy, Langdon, Walters, Lobb and Matera, all good. And at the risk of embarrassing Matt Tabata. Now, he played well, didn't he?
And he's taking those marks,
Holding his marks, but now not kicking his kicks.
No.
He can't have it all. How does a bloke get this far in a career? I really like him. I embarrass him because I think I give him too much praise.
Yeah.
I don't think he thinks that for a moment, but at the same time, I also occasionally find his faults, and it was kicking. It wasn't hard to fault last weekend. So as a result, how does a guy get that far in a career and be such an erratic kick? This is supposedly the time, the era of specialist coaches and the one percenters and everything else. Well, heck, it's not working there. He'll turn 26 in a couple of months now.
Seventh season or something?
It's just darted past, hasn't it? So time is short and they need to sort this out because he's a potential match winner at any level. He was terrific last week. Mm. So much raw talent. What they need to do, I think, is get somebody like Austin Robertson or George Young. They're a name. Subiaco names, two of them. I only had two good players, and I've plucked them both this morning, but they were both great goal kickers. Get them down and teach him to kick straight.
Yeah. Mighty Stinger Ray.
Get a tick.
Yeah.
And while you're there,
for
maybe
the West Perth man. You say Perth, I say West Perth.
It doesn't just need to be Tavener on his own either. Maybe get all the clubs down there and everyone do a day coach of training of kicking a goal, because there's a few that needed a bit of work on it.
Did you see the weekend's game, Fremantle? Oh, yeah, you're getting into dangerous territory now, because I don't think you saw it.
I'm just saying, if you're a professional footballer and at their level, the bare minimum of what you should be able to do is kick a goal.
Yeah.
Bare minimum.
But he was so good otherwise.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to make allowances. He can get the ball. He can really get the ball. And speaking of those one percenters, I've come up with something.
What have you got?
I've just been watching the weekend. We had three bungled score replays.
Oh, so frustrating.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. In the last 5 days, three bungled. So based on that, I've got an idea. Now, it's embryonic at this stage, but work with me on this. Matty?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Put your hands out in front of you like that, parallel to the desk.
Matt's doing what Dennis says.
Okay, palms down.
Palms down.
And now try and pull your fingers back like this.
Okay. It's going on.
Okay. Now, this is what defensive players need to do. You're seeing
me?
So you're trying to smother, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you touch the ball or not. Just put your fingers back as if you did.
Right, okay, yeah.
On the slow-mo replay, what are you thinking? Touch ball.
Touch ball.
Touch ball. These guys are down on confidence all around the country.
As someone who attended the National Institute of Dramatic Art, perhaps I could go to the clubs and teach that.
You'd be very expressive.
Could you organise that?
Yeah, like when I come in this morning, you're levitating in the corner. I like that too. That's outstanding stuff.
Matty could win a grand final by doing jazz hands.
So you go down to footy training. Exactly. I've started something. I knew this would catch on, you guys. You're very perverse. But I'm thinking that just imagine going to training and they spend 15 minutes on this. They're in the corner pulling their fingers back, you know, do hammies and now fingers. I think this would be terrific. You can see them out at dinner doing
it. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's
the post-game
that
chat.
That is the future.
I thought the guys were really good with their jazz hands.
Got this. Yeah. Yeah. That's all I've got to offer this week.
That was good.
On that note, I'm gone.
No, that's all good. Thanks, Dan.
Okay. David Mundy's 300.
Oh, another good Subi premiership player. Well done, David Mundy.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. The juice.
Oh, you tell.
Let's hear it. Give me the details.
Oh, guys, do you know it has been 3 years ago since Prince died?
Oh, has it?
Three years.
Really? Yeah. Tragic.
Where did that time go? Just incredible that he's already gone like that. But the memoir that Prince was working on at the time of his death is due to be released. It'll be coming out October 29. Random House have confirmed The Beautiful Ones is what it's called.
Yep.
And it will combine a Prince unfinished manuscript with rare photos, scrapbooks, lyrics. And it's the story of a kid who basically created a persona, went through his artistic vision and became the juggernaut that was Prince.
Right.
And it's going to have original handwritten lyric sheets, never before shared images of his life.
Yep.
And he had started it, so it's someone else finishing it off now. But the book's editor says it's a genuinely moving and energising literary work full of Prince's ideas, vision, his voice and image.
Okay.
3 years.
Yeah, I know.
Well, we got to see him a couple of months before he died.
We were very lucky.
On that piano and microphone tour.
Yeah, very lucky. So that'll be an interesting read. And I quite like seeing their manuscripts and things. I like to see. You sort of get an insight into how their brains work.
I wonder who they got to finish the book, the bloke who helped Dennis Lilly with his book, or
might have been Rod Marsh. Yeah. Actually, someone who works here went and did the tour of Prince's compound and said that they leave one of the amplifiers and guitars on because he always had stuff turned on in his studio there at Paisley Park, just in case inspiration hit and he'd just pick it up. So they'd do that for the tour.
If I didn't have a puppy, I could do that.
Yeah, put the amp away. Yeah.
Everything's behind a childproof gate. Yeah. Now, guys, after the Whirlwind World Tours, Adele has split from her husband, Simon Konecki. They have released a statement saying that they're committed to raising their son together lovingly. Okay. And that there'll be no further comments because they've asked for their privacy.
Okay.
She's quite a private person anyway, isn't she, Adele? Yeah. When you think about it, she's not really out there.
No, and it's funny that they even release that information. It doesn't worry me that she's not with her husband. It doesn't change anything about her music. But
Maybe that's just cut them off at the pass, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And guys, last night, Dancing with the Stars, the person who took it out, Samuel Johnson!
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mirabal, I'm calling myself.
Congratulations, mate.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm chuffed.
Sam, the win is great, but was it your favourite moment in the competition?
Oh, no, the favourite moments are actually the dancing parts. The other parts are terrifying. I kind of enjoyed the whole lot, but kind of when they pick us off one by one, it's brutal.
Hey Sam, it's Dick Tinsky here, buddy. It's congratulations.
Maddie, how are you, old friend?
I'm well, legend. And look at you. I mean, you're more than a quadruple threat these days.
Yeah, you know, I can't explain it. It makes no sense, and I don't know how I ended up here, mate. I was a pretty average actor, and I'm a pretty average dancer, and I think I'm the most over-celebrated man in the country.
Enjoy every moment of it.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Of course.
Hey, Samuel, mate, congratulations, mate, once again. You got the silverware, but what does the 50K mean to you?
Mate, I need to kick cancer in the face hole pronto because it's messing with our families. I promised the country I'd raise $10 million towards cancer research. This takes me over 9.3 and within a whisker of keeping my promise that I made, not just to my sister, but to the country. Yeah. 7 years ago, I made that promise, and I reckon I'll be able to get to that $10 million this year.
That's sensational, Sam. And as you said yesterday, that sort of donation now, that money that you've won, will be a research assistant for 9 months.
Yeah.
So that's fantastic. Work. Great job.
Oh, thanks. I'm pretty thrilled. If anyone listening voted for me, can I say thanks? And if anyone wants to help me kick cancer where it counts, then can they hit me up at loveyoursister.org?
Yeah, you can say that.
Done. Beautiful, mate. Now,
I danced really hard for that chance. Thank you.
Off to the physio for you.
Yeah, right. Tell me about it.
Love you, mate. Congratulations.
Thanks, heaps, man. Good to hear your voice, Tatinski.
You too, bud.
Samuel Johnson, the winner of Dancing with the Stars, to wrap up the juice.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Louise Momba's back on Channel 9 today, today Perth, from 7 o'clock this morning, and she's on the Big Breakfast with us, Clancy, Matt and Kimber, this morning. Lou, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Good morning, team. How are you going?
Well, we're recovering from all of the chocolate overdose.
I know. Someone in the newsroom just offered me chocolate and I honestly nearly threw up.
I had a spare Easter egg for you in the office here.
Oh, thanks for thinking of me, Clancy.
No worries. But, okay.
Louise, because of our terrible diet over the last 10 days, I feel like we're ready to talk about this major issue.
Yes.
Anzac biscuits.
This is a major issue, guys. I am overwhelmed by this information. Did you know that under law, if you make Anzac biscuits that are outside the traditional recipe and market them as Anzac biscuits and sell them, you could be fined up to $51,000.
Bloody hell.
Or just if you throw a couple of sultanas in or something.
Chop chips, sultanas, if you veer from the path of the traditional method of making these Anzac biscuits, which was set in 1914,
sure,
you can be fined. Just an independent seller can be fined up to $10,000.
What, even if it's a gluten-free option, Lou? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm interested in that too, because I'm one of the high-maintenance people that doesn't eat gluten, so I was wondering about that, but gluten-free flour doesn't apply. It's still flour, so it's okay.
Okay.
Or almond meal as well, because you can't have oats. So those two things are apparently okay. But this is really interesting. This has been picked up right across all the news services this morning, because it's one of those things. We all buy Anzac cookies at bake sales and school fetes, and we all make them in the kitchen badly, if you're me. But I had no idea that it's such a sacred thing, which I actually really respect, guys. What do you think? They just want to make sure people don't abuse the Anzac name.
Absolutely. Keep it at four ingredients, just like the diggers did.
Yeah, no, but I do understand that, and that's what they're trying to do. But these rules date back years, and it's something that we're only realising now.
Yeah, you're talking First World War. Well, I guess we're the original ingredients, lest we forget.
Louise, you're going to hear the very controversial things that Dean Clares has to say about this issue this morning on the show.
Okay, I look forward to that, Clares.
I'll see you on the TV at 8.
I'll transcribe Matt's jokes.
Okay, thank you guys. Great to talk.
Thanks,
see you, Louise. Yeah.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claresy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for Brekkie.
An update from Ukrainian politics. There's the happy new president, Volodymyr Zelensky, the 41-year-old. He's a political newcomer. He's a comedian and actor, and he's made it. He used to play the president on TV, and now he's the real prez.
Real president of a country that is sort of at war with Russia.
Pretty much.
You know, 45 million people. It's a serious country.
Yeah,
pretty serious issue.
Yeah.
I wonder if it'll be like Meghan Markle, where now that you've got an important role, you can't do any of your old acting gigs anymore.
That's right.
No more comedy for this guy.
Yeah, it might be a bit hard, although Trump's still doing his, had his golf courses and the rest of it.
He's still on The Apprentice.
So we were asking, you know, who we might put in, Australian icons, you know, Alf from Home and Away or Ted Bullpit from Kingswood Country.
Legends.
Oh,
great leaders.
That's going back. Shane is in Ellenbrook. Shane, who do you think should be leading Australia?
Oh, come on. It's got to be Magda Zavansky.
Magda!
Absolutely.
Actually, Magda would be good. She doesn't tolerate fools.
No, that's it. I mean, hey, look, if you want a classic Australian to run the country, who better?
Would you have her as Magda or as Sharon from Kath and Kim, Shane?
Sharon Strzelecki.
Oh, look, even going back to Comedy Company days, mate, I don't care. Anyone's better than the two we got now.
That's true.
Yeah, what a choice.
And that great character she did, like, doing the morning TV makeup.
That's right. Yeah.
That was awesome.
That's exactly.
Well, she'd get the country playing netball, or netty, I should say.
Yeah.
Sharon Strzelecki.
Good choice, Shane.
Exactly.
Good on you, mate. Thank you. Let's go to Wellard Wayne. Who do you think should be leading the country?
Well, there could only be one. That's got to be the Dane. Dame Edna.
Of
course.
Oh, the Gladys.
Dame Edna. What kind of policies is Dame Edna going to push?
Oh, more Gladiola for all.
It's got to be better than what we've got.
Yeah, absolutely. That seems to
and
be the...
And because of one of her... She can always call on her brother or friend.
Yeah. Oh, Sir Les.
Les Patterson.
Sir Les Patterson.
For any advice.
Oh, he's still trying to get the stains out of the jacket, isn't he?
See, this is how the Ukraine president gets elected. Because
totally.
Two for two now who have gone better than what we've got.
Totally.
Doesn't matter who it is.
Thanks,
better
Wayne.
Than what we've got.
Well done, buddy.
Let's go to Sawyer's Valley. Is that Gar, is it?
Yeah, that's right. Yep. I reckon Kevin Wilson. Kevin Bloody Wilson.
Hey!
Me made the master fighter.
Put the art back into farting with his custom tailored farts.
Oh, I mean, that's poetry.
Isn't it?
That is poetry.
Well, that's a political speech to get you over the line.
It certainly is.
I bet people would listen to that speech too.
It would, Harry. It'd be great.
And, oh, Gard, do you think if Kevin Bloody Wilson ran for Parliament, he'd lose the bloody to sort of serious up his look?
No. Look, it did Paul Keating all right. So I reckon Kevin Wilson would keep it.
Kevin Bloody Wilson.
Yeah. Great choice.
Yeah, we should have gone with that with the original Kevin 07 campaign.
Yes, too right.
If only Kevin Bloody Wilson had $30 million, he could do a Clive and get in.
Yeah, you will.
Hey, thanks, guy. Have a good short week, buddy.
Okay, thanks, mate. Cheers.
Nice contributions there. I like those.
Yeah, thanks.
Dame Edna, Magda Sabansky, Kevin Wilson.
Kevin Bloody Wilson.
What a great country.
There is hope for us yet.
Breakfast with the lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
You know what the best thing about being, or having, what did we have, sort of 10 days off, including weekends and public holidays?
Yep. Was it that? It felt like two.
It did it, yeah. But did not open a paper. Did not watch the news.
Sure.
Did not read anything. Missed 10 days of the election campaign.
Yeah! Best thing ever.
I mean, not only is it just not very interesting, but people don't understand that we have to come in here and try and make it interesting.
Yes, and which is impossible.
The fact that we didn't have to do that just felt like the weight of the world off our shoulders.
I really rubbed it in this morning, though, because, 10 days without any of the coverage. And the first email I got this morning was one of the latest news poll. And
yes.
It talked about Clive Palmer spending his $30 million and he's actually getting some traction.
Is he?
So all of that missing out on the campaign, and I got that news. It was the first thing when I plugged back in this morning at 4 a.m.
Oh, I did see a fun meme about it, though, where someone's taken a photo of one of Clive Palmer's posters, you know, how we've got these billboards and stuff everywhere.
Very yellow.
And they've been printed on, it says down there that they've been printed in China.
Oh, really?
And so all of the anti-China messages that he's been sending are printing on stuff they got done there. They didn't even print it in Australia.
Do it for Oz.
And of course, he's using that time-honored technique when people are doing it tough, and we know plenty of people are, is just by saying, I'll stop them selling your country to other people. I'll make your life better again. And, you know, that's what people want to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah, although do people look behind the lines and go, look, I'm struggling to pay the mortgage and those ever-increasing rates and all the other bills, and he's spending $30 million on a campaign.
Yes. Yeah.
What does tap numbers. People into the election now? Like, what would be the selling point for you?
Bill Shorten makes a huge, mistake. You know, what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because he's been rolling along pretty nicely, and it's the cracks have sort of appeared a little bit more recent weeks.
Well, one thing that I did notice, and I can't remember when and where I saw it, but I think this is it's probably quite a tipping point, actually, is that environmental issues are important to voters this year, this time round.
Yeah, right.
You know, I think we all understand the state of the environment, and, you know, we have to live here. We want it to be nice. But as it gets closer to those elections, that tends to drop down the list, and you're thinking more about economy and security and stuff like that.
Texas.
But I think environment has stayed up there as a topic of
sign of the times.
Oh, right.
I think.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Which would be good.
Yeah, it'd be nice to look at that for future. You know, for our children and our children's children.
Yeah. You wouldn't it?
It'd be nice for them to have somewhere to play.
Yeah, but I want that $7.90 off my electricity bill, which I do actually.
Right. Of course, or $17.90.
Yeah.
By the time I got to the election, before it was just the Greenies who were really, really caring about it.
Yes,
it? The old days, you know, back 30 years plus.
Mm. So how many weeks are we away from like Lamington sales and bake sales and sausage sizzles?
May 18th, so we're about 3 weeks
away. Okay, cool.
Can we have any more time off before then?
Yeah, you want the rest of the week? Actually, I'll give you Thursday off.
Okay, thanks, buddy.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
In our city in 2019, the city of Perth continues to change, and there's been more reports over the Easter break of things that are happening in Perth.
And things that are not happening.
And not happening as well. Well, what's not happening for starters?
Well, what's not happening, or it's been mothballed, is the Ocean's 11.
Ocean's 11.
Ocean's 3, the Chinese developers who were going to create the incredible new skyline at Scarborough. Who have cleared that area on the corner of West Coast Highway and Scarborough Beach
Massive
Road.
Massive corner block, yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to do it.
Oh.
What? It was going through the processes for so long, going, can we make it 400 stories or can it only be 40?
No, it's now financially unviable and they've mothballed it.
Oh, does that make that little sky walk, that walk across to get to the beach easier without crossing the road?
It's just going
to
be a lollipop man.
Oh, no.
Or person.
Or someone's going to piggyback people.
They definitely still need the footbridge. Can we create that anyway?
Yeah. I mean, I know nothing about how these things go on, right?
Mm.
But I would have thought, I don't know, when you sign a contract or something, Like, yeah, we're going to build it, right? We're going to give it to you. You're going to build it. Yeah, we're going to build it.
Yeah.
Don't you have to build it? Like, that was the whole point.
I guess if the climate changes, you know, they've done some projections and that and gone, oh, we can't do that. But they've still bought the land, I would imagine.
Well, do they have to rebuild the old Contatio site?
Oh, and there you go, and bring the shops in. Because that was your favourite car park.
It was. It was my free car park. They got rid of the ATM.
Maybe they've taken all of the money from that project.
Yes.
And they're going to whack it into that new Frio Bridge.
Ah, the Frio Bridge. This 80-year-old beast is apparently was meant to be, when it was built, what was it, 1937 or something? It was meant to be a temporary structure.
Doesn't that tell you everything you need to know about the modern world?
It looks like a temporary structure, doesn't
it? Well, mind you, temporary structure that lasted 80 years, we probably got to build it on the cheap. Great investment. We really got money back on that
bridge. We did, actually. Yeah, it could have fallen over on the second day.
Yeah, I mean, I think we got our money. Now they're saying it's going to cost $230 million more.
Yes.
To try and rebuild it.
I think they've got half-half from federal funding for that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And create lots of jobs.
Mind you, it is an election month.
Of course.
You know, they're going to back down.
Yeah, Ocean 3 are going to build it.
Honestly, we need to put all this money just into hover cars and we won't have to worry about the bridges anymore.
A hover around Frio?
Yeah.
Now you're talking.
But producer Tom was saying, and I agree with him, which is, we're obviously kicking off the next part of the year really well, actually agreeing with producer Tom.
Yeah, that's unusual.
But
yeah.
making it a real, a gateway to Fremantle. Like, I hope the design is, we did wonderful things with the Matagarrett Bridge.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be wonderful to be driving down to Frio and have this awesome bridge to drive over.
Maybe we could go under the river and call it the Pav Pipe.
The Pav Pipe. I love it.
I'm far more practical. I just think just build what we need to get over there. It's just a bridge.
Oh, okay. You've lost the joy.
Just build a bridge.
Build a bridge, Kimber says.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Yeah.
Woo. Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist. She's a really good news reader, but here's what Jen King missed.
Now, guys, when it comes to heart stuff, you don't mess about, right? They always say if you ever think that you're having a heart attack or that you think you're in any kind of danger, to call an ambulance.
Sure.
Don't drive yourself there because you need medical professionals as soon as possible.
Yes.
Defibrillator.
Right. Yeah, because they've got all the equipment, right? If anything happens and you're in the ambulance, they have what they need to help you.
The gear and the know-how.
It's super important. Yeah. And so,
despite what you've heard about the state of our health system, they do have the stuff.
Yeah.
So this happened to a dude in Nebraska. And the paramedics, he called the ambulance immediately because he said, my heart is not okay. And 59 years old, paramedics turned up and they said, his heartbeat, it was racing, like dangerously. Mm. It was a rapid heartbeat of 200 beats per minute.
Holy right. Dolly, that's right. A lot of work the heart's doing.
Yeah, pretty excessive.
That's what happens to Captain Paul when he sees food.
Bella's 400.
Yeah.
And, so they were quite worried. The paramedics had him in the ambulance, racing him to hospital, thinking, hope he's going to be okay. And he's obviously in great discomfort.
God, you don't want your paramedics saying that, do you? Jeez, I hope he's going to be okay.
Did I say it out loud? Yeah. You can see that look on their face.
You can see it in their face.
Yeah.
But as they're driving to the ambulance.
To the hospital,
they hit a pothole in the road.
Right.
And when they hit the pothole.
He died?
The man's heartbeat suddenly went back to normal.
No!
Back into the groove.
Back in the groove.
Jolted him back.
Apparently, it's very rare, but it can happen. They say that's why they try and treat you with like an electric shock or like when they get the paddles on you and they go, clear, clear. You know that?
Yeah.
How bizarre.
It's a big jolt is what you need. And so it turns out you can do it with a pothole.
There you go. So all this time I've been railing on about council funds not being spent on roads. Forget about it.
Saving lives.
Let's keep it safe.
So it was deliberate.
It was deliberate.
How weird is that?
He's expected to fully recover and it's all okay. I mean, still, call an ambulance if you've got a heart issue.
Oh, yes. They'll be rerouting ambulances everywhere.
Drive over the Gibb River Road.
Absolutely.
Have your dream home built by Perth's most awarded home builder. Talk to Ventura Homes today. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.